Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Frog Watch with your one and only host, who is the most, Frog Squatch.
Well, hello to all my friends out there in Prog Land. This is your host, Big Tony the
Hey,
Prog
Squatch, 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 Squatch. Hey, Squatch.
What?
Check this out. All right, my cousin's wife posted this thing on Facebook. It's a stop sign, and underneath it there's this red plate, and it says, "Children, what's that sound? Everyone, look what's going round." And they got the whole lyrics above it, and she's like, "Great, now that's going to be stuck in my head." So I'm like, "All right, no problem. Here, this I found the most annoying song I could from the '70s, and I got the video off of YouTube, and I posted it underneath it, and I said, here, this will knock it right out of your head," which I think she hates me now because, you know, "For What It's Worth" by Buffalo Springfield may be stuck in your head for an hour. "How Do You Do" by Mouth and McNeil will be stuck in your head for a week, maybe a month. So, hey, by the way, Prog Nation, check this out. The Squatch could, like, totally pull off the dude from Mouth and McNeil for Halloween. That would be, like, so cool. He might have to put on some weight for the role, like, what's his name, Vince D'Onofrio. But only two problems. One, nobody knows who that is anymore.
Yeah.
And the Squatch isn't hairy enough.
How do you do?
Dude, Mouth and McNeil, dude, I just said the guy we call the Squatch is not as hairy as you are. I think you might need some issues that need to be addressed there, buddy.
Hair club for Squatches.
The Werewolves of London wig, you know?
Really? One of those ones where you got the chest hair like puffing up, and there's like a line on his throat where he shaves down to, you know?
Yeah. That's about it.
All right, well, that was an interesting way to start a show, wasn't it, guys? Anyway, thank you all out there for listening. All my friends out there, Progzilla, Voice 35 Radio, and Prog Positivity. And as you heard, tonight I am joined once again by Terry Deline.
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, okay. So, Mouth and McNeil, man, that's obscure, but I knew that song. I know that. I'm up on my old 70s stuff. I think I have that on AM Gold or something from Time Life Music or something.
Right.
Anyway, we have a pretty great show once again. We have a band up first called the Proto Men, which
from
Terry,
Nashville, Tennessee.
Terry knows a good bit about this band, which is good because one of the first things I looked up, it said, "Little is known about the Proto Men."
Yep.
Other than the band is based in Tennessee.
I think they have the band manager Wikipedia, so it says that.
Really?
I think so. I think they try to maintain that mystery.
Yeah.
I did my pre-ordering last night. I got on online, and there's a couple things that needed pre-ordered. The new Marillion album's available for pre-order. It's not going to be available till probably April or May, but
right.
That's one
I
of them.
That.
That's one of them things.
They're going to tour North America, right?
Yep. It'll be late next year. It's like September. But that's one of them things. You know, it's a big deal nowadays. It's good because it helps these artists, you know, get the financing if they need financing. It helps them. I think the other thing I did with the Proto Men, they got a single out, This City Made Us, is the name of the song. And they had a package where you get the T-shirt and the record, and they'll ship it to you, and you immediately get a download of the music. So I did that, too.
Yeah.
And they typically have something in the can already when they ask for the money, so they can send you the – they just did that with the recent album, the cover-up, which was all – bunch of covers. These guys are good enough that they can play covers by Queen and Iron Maiden and just...
Right. They did that whole album of Queen stuff, which was really good.
An entire album live.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Of really Queen is. Music. And they didn't skimp on it. It's not like they did, you know, Crazy Little Thing Called Love. It was all... It was difficult Queen
stuff. It was the meaty stuff, the good stuff.
It was Princes of the Universe and Bohemian Rhapsody.
And they have more than one guitar player, so they were pulling off some really cool dual guitar stuff.
Yeah, most of the members of the band are multi-instrumentalists.
Why don't we roll on here? Why don't you fill us in with what you know?
Okay. They met in the recording program for Middle Tennessee State University. And basically, it's just a bunch of friends getting together. They put together the first album, deciding they were just going to go against everything they were taught in the recording just break down all those barriers. And they came up with something that they said sounded like the sound of the end of the world. Kicking off a 3-album concept. That and the fact that they're unbelievably talented musicians is what really makes these guys prog. The multi-album concept, something that's getting around a lot nowadays. Coheed and Cambria have 5 albums all on the same story.
The Deer Hunter.
Anybody, if you got some of these you think I should check out, hit my facebook.com/ Terry Lee Music and let me know about it, because it's really neat stuff. I'm not talking about like Consequences by Godley and Cream or The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, which are multiple album concept albums, but
yeah,
multiple discs. Release I'm talking about.
Various albums. The Deer Hunter's doing like part 4 of something they started like 12 years ago or so. There's been 4 installments with a couple of other things that were in between, but they just released the most recent one, which I'm going to be getting around to playing some of that pretty soon. And I also heard from a band called House of Knot, and they're doing the same kind of thing. They have a character, kind of a protagonist, who they're following through various, and each album is like a different stage of his journey. So I think they're on like the 3rd album, which they just sent to me, and I was listening to the other night. I think I'm going to try to get some of that on here too. But anyway, back to the Proto Men.
I feel like we got a good double bill here, because I think they're both consist of bands who are serious artists that don't take themselves too seriously. And so the 3-album concept, loosely based on the game Mega Man from
Mega
the
Man,
Nintendo.
Yeah. And these guys have some interesting stage names, and they don't really publicize their real names.
The stage names all come from popular culture. Raw Panther III, Commander B. Hawkins Jr., Murphy Weller, Sir Dr. Robert Baker, The Gambler. She added Kirk Douglas, a last name now. She's The Gambler Kirk Douglas. Kilroy, Reanimator, and Shock Magnum. Also, Turbo Lover was he just recently left. I just noticed his name under the past members.
What about the? I had the Nightwalker on my list.
She's been gone for a couple years now. I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think 2012. She made an exit.
So yeah, Terry's a lot. He knows a lot about this band. He actually had some contact with them, right?
I helped make them chili.
You helped make them chili. Yeah, I remember this story. This is Terry's.
Yeah,
Terry's 15 minutes of.
Ian is an absolute nut about the Proto Men, and you'll find that there are no half Proto Men fans. Go to one of their gigs. Unbelievable live, and it's just as much fun to watch the crowd as it is to watch the band. Most of these people have followed them from gig to gig, and they all know Ian. And somebody's, I never seen you at a gig before. Who are you? I'm like, oh, I'm Ian's friend. He's like, we're all Ian's friend here. But let's
play.
We spin that
first tune. Yeah.
All right. This is from the first album, and. What
the album The Protomen, 2005.
Right, and understand they loosely based the concept on the Mega Man games, but it's a jumping off point. It's they're telling their own story from that starting point. You know, the characters, their histories are starting to vary a little bit. The ultimate destination, it's where they're going, who knows? Sort of a combination hard rock chiptune sort of album. It's, like I said, the band calls it the sound of the end of the world. It tells how this character, Dr. Light, worked for years to create a robot to defend humanity against Dr. Wily's horde of evil robots, only for him to be overwhelmed and destroyed. Then he created a second robot, Mega Man, brother to the first, and Dr. Light basically begged him not to take up the fight, and we did his own thing, and that leads us to The Stand.
The Stand with Man or Machine in parentheses is like the subtitle.
Right.
All right, well, we're going to spin it here. This is The Stand, Man or Machine from The Protomen, released 2005.
Everything I do. sight. The very fate of all mankind.
Okay, The Stand, Man or Machine by the Proto Men from their first album, self-titled Proto Men. Heavy. I mean, the whole album has a heaviness about it. Next album, Act Two, they changed things just in their sound almost radically. They start doing a lot of 80s influences. Who is the Sergio Leone composer? Enrico Morricone?
Morricone, yeah.
They incorporate some of his style into that. There's even a song breaking out on there that I kind of call their Bruce Springsteen song, because, I mean, you close your eyes and it's The Boss, but they're doing it on purpose. And the best part is they're good enough to pull it off.
On this tune, I liked it. It was a little Queenish in the beginning, I thought, you know. It was the piano, bombastic drums and guitar kind of stuff, you know. I really like the vocals and the guitar on this song a lot, and I did enjoy the kind of like the bolero kind of thing that near the end that kind of builds up and then the come down. Yeah.
When I saw them in concert, it was the female singer, the Gambler, who is going to feature in the next couple of songs. She was operating the merch table when I was leaving the last show I was at. And I said to her, I said, I'm looking at the prices at the merch table. I paid $13 for the ticket. And I said to her, I don't know how you guys can make a living at this. And she looked at me like, why? I'm like, well, all right, I'm old. I saw Def Leppard. Their drummer was intact. So what's that? Okay. And a lot of new wave of British heavy metal people out there just wincing at my statement there. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. So it was about 30 years ago, 1983,
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And the ticket cost 75 cents more than my Proto Men ticket in 2013
to see Def Leppard,
$13.
Yeah.
The CDs cost the same amount of money, $10, same amount of money as a Def Leppard tape cost at the time. And the shirts were $13 at both events. She just smiled at me and said, we're still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to give them credit and try to support them whenever possible.
Exactly. I try to take 100 for the merch table when I go.
You're a good fan, Terry.
And I do my pre-ordering.
We don't play hits. If progressive music is your thing, Radio Progzilla is your station. Progressive music from your progressive rock station. Progzilla.
Anyway, I guess we're going to move along and play the song from the second album. Act Two, The Father of Death, released in 2009. And from it, Terry has selected a couple of songs that kind of run together. The Good Doctor and Father of Death. We're going to play them together as one.
Awesome.
Thank you. My father worked the mines till the day he took his life. Stole him from his only son, and it stole him from his wife. And I swore upon his grave, someday I would make things right. So I learned how to bend steel, I learned how to make it move. And I watched as they withstood all the hell we put men through. With hands of iron, there's not a task we couldn't do. Waited so long for this day, someone to take the death away. No son would ever have to say, my father worked into his grave.
Listen to yourself, then listen carefully to me. If you replace the working parts, you get a different machine. The man who turns the wheels, they will follow anywhere he leads. We've spent our whole lives searching for a way to make a better world. Giving everything to them, asking nothing in return. Well, here it is, a chance to take back everything we've earned.
I will create. I never said the men should bow. I never said the men should break. I only want what's best. The one I love, she works so hard, works her fingers till they bleed. Some of the pain that she endures bring a strong man to his knees. I only want to help.
You are a fool.
You underestimate the character of
man. They are weaker than you think.
You think that they surrender if you bind their working hands, but they are strong.
Just wait and see.
We will build cities in a day.
Men would cower
at the sight. We will build towers to the heavens.
Man was not built for such a height.
We will be heroes.
We will build heroes.
For this day, someone to take the death away. No son would ever have to say, my father worked into his grave. Men sleep tonight with hands of bone. They will awake with hands of steel. With these hands we will destroy, and with these hands we will rebuild. And we will stand above the city, rising high above the streets. From tops of buildings we will look at all the
done. But I did not pull the trigger. I built the gun that he holds in his hand. Last night I dreamed I climbed to the top of a mountain of metal. For miles I could see the destruction of man. Everything that I have done for you, but it's turned out all wrong.
That was The Good Doctor and the Father of Death from Act 2, Father of Death by the Proto Men. I love the interplay at the end there. Of course, the first song, you know, Panther's the lead vocalist, as he is for most things. But towards the end there, that's Turbo playing the part of Dr. Wily, which he usually does. And he's singing to character Emily, which is voiced by Gambler. And that interplay is so cool live. It's just like amazing to watch.
I dug the moody, rootsy aspect of The Good Doctor. It was almost like kind of like Americana, kind of folky,
right?
And almost like a Johnny Cash thing going on vocally. I was kind of shocked and after hearing some of the vocals on the first album, then you hear they're doing almost like a Johnny Cash kind of send up.
And that's tracks 2 and 3 on the album. And the first track is the prologue, which has that Ennio Morricone thing that I was mentioning before. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got the spaghetti western kind of intro into that,
into this roots kind of thing on The Good Doctor.
You know? And then there's a lot of, you know, 80s feel to some of the songs. There's almost a Queensryche-ish Operation Mindcrime feel to the one track. And there's so much they do on these albums that when you do see them live, the crowd participation is just off the chain. And one song towards the end called The Fall, I didn't even realize it had lyrics until I saw it live. Because everybody's singing and I'm looking around going, what?
Really?
There's words to this?
How'd you miss that?
It's just they're really buried under some wonderful music.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, The Good Doctor was very dramatic. You know, you were talking about the different vocal parts going on. I dug, you know, there was horns, there was like kind of martial drumming and like some cinematic percussion hits that were kind of like emphasizing, like, it was pretty neat. You know, it definitely different than what you're used to hearing here on Prog Watch.
Right, but if anybody's ready for this stuff, it's the Prog Nation.
Absolutely, you know what I mean? Absolutely, yeah.
I want to shout out Amanda Lee and Ian Lemon, who are my friends from the Proto Men shows. So they wanted to get your names on there, especially since I say Ian, like anybody in the audience who heard of the Proto Men knows him. So,
all right. Well, while we didn't really talk much about Father of Death, I like the haunting music box beginning. Again, it was a Southwest kind of acoustic guitar kind of thing, slide guitar.
Yes.
Again, very dramatic. You know, it's just dramatic in its delivery. Like you said, they have different people voicing different characters throughout the album.
Right.
So it's very,
and this
almost, you know, prime for live performances, like you're saying, you know, where you can get some theatrics and things involved.
And now they're filling in the detail. You know, the first album was about robots. The second album is about the people who built the robots, because this is very much a prequel to the first album. Now we're seeing how the robots got built, how the world fell under darkness.
Okay.
And, you know, Dr. Wily and Light kind of construct them together. And Dr. Light was determined not to be the father of death.
Okay.
So.
And now, refresh me. What's the name of the one where they do all the Queen? Is it Night of Queen?
Proto Men present a Night of Queen.
A Night of Queen, yes. Yeah. If you can find that, definitely check it out.
The cover is like, it's Queen 2, but with 10 people on it.
Yeah. Yeah, they do have a large band, but like I said, on that live album, that really helped because it filled out the sound, and they could do a lot of the cool things that Brian May would do in the studio that he couldn't really reproduce live.
Right, not without help.
Yeah.
Progzilla, bringing you the best progressive music has to offer.
So anyway, the Proto Men, that was a pretty different kind of departure for Prog Watch here. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, we'll keep them coming.
Yeah. We're going to move into the second band today. And we didn't tell you earlier. I deliberately kept it a secret because I love these guys and they're really hot right now. Their latest album is doing very well. It's even getting mentions in some circles as like album of the year kind of stuff, best prog album of the year, and I think rightfully so. But it is the Barock Project. BARROCK
website.
What's that?
They're really psyched about this album at their website. I noticed.
Oh, it's a great album.
It's got plenty to be psyched about.
Yeah. BARROCK Project. They're from Italy, and they were formed in the early part of this century, but really started to evolve into their current incarnation when the project founder, pianist, guitarist, it almost sounded like a bad word, didn't it?
I know.
Piano player, guitarist, and composer, Luca Zabini.
Let's just call him keyboardists.
Keyboardist, yeah, that's a good one. Luca Zabini, though, hooked up with vocalist Luca Pancaldi. This kind of ushered in the modern era of the project here. They were joined by G.B. Giorgi on bass and Giacomo Calabria on drums, and released their first album, Misterios Voci, in 2007. I hope I'm doing the Italian some justice.
I'm not even trying that one.
This lineup was joined by Max Garcia on guitar for the next album, Rebus, in 2009. The first two albums are sung all in Italian, so I was only going to sample from one of them. I'm going to skip over Misterios Voci, but it's a great album, and Rebus is a great album, in my opinion, also. I'm going to play from Rebus, though, a song called Don Giovanni, which will show you where these guys are coming from with some of their like classical underpinnings. I think this is a really cool track. And even though it's sung in Italian, I hope you can appreciate it. Once again, it's Don Giovanni from Rebus, released in 2009, the Baroque Project.
Solo per lei.
right, Don Giovanni by Rebus from the Baroque Project. I didn't get any of that lyrically.
No, right. Me neither.
but
who cares?
It strikes me as a good kind of silly. You know, I could be totally off base on what it is like, but it just sounds the thing, like the kind of thing you get from some of them serious artists that don't take themselves too seriously. Like I was saying before, like Steely Dan, or you know, they were going to play jazz chords on overamplified guitars. You know,
yeah,
10cc, especially the Godly and Cream end of that.
Oh yeah,
you know, Frank Zappa. You know, serious artists that, okay, we get a little silly from time to time. It's good. It's all good.
I'm not sure I think this is silly. It's a very sophisticated composition, that's for sure. And I was wondering if it had anything to do with the opera Don Giovanni, if any of the music. I couldn't find any direct references, but that is an opera, and it's based on the life of Don Juan. And maybe if I spoke Italian, I might know what they were singing about, so I could tell you for sure whether or not.
There were little phrases through that, and you're listening, and you're going, oh, I feel like I should know that one, or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know enough about it to pick out a word or two here and there, but not, you know, no way do I speak it at all. But so it's good that our friend Luca Zabini speaks English, because actually we got him to answer some of our questions here, and I think I'm going to go ahead and play that, at least a couple of these answers first, before we get into the next tune. First thing we asked Luca was, where do your ideas come from and how are they developed? From jamming sessions, doodling, or from your head or heart, and then trying to get that emotion onto the instrument?
Well, first of all, sorry for my English is not very well. My ideas mainly come from my head and my heart, because I tend to write my music writing notes for notes on the paper. And it's very difficult to tell you that my ideas come from jamming sessions, doodling, or what else. It depends from the instrument that I play. Sometimes I tend to compose with a guitar, and it came out a song very different from a piano or a bass. And sometimes it's very difficult to compose a song without my main instrument. In any case, after that, I present the song to the rest members of the band, and we talk about how we can develop the structure and the music of that song in with the entire band for the live shows or for the recording of the album.
So I wasn't really surprised to hear that he writes out a lot of this stuff, you know, in the answer he was talking about, you know, composing. I mean, this music, you'll hear in the next two songs also, that these guys, they're not like strumming four chords like some kind of a, you know, punk band. No, this is composed music. You know, this is like writing the notes on paper kind of stuff.
Extremely stretched fingers on the guitar and keyboard music.
Yeah. So anyway, for our second question, we asked, what kind of equipment do you use? How and why did you choose your instruments? What, if any, modifications have you made to your instruments to get your sound?
Well, I use four keyboards, and the main keyboards, the brain of all my keyboard rig is a Motif XF Yamaha, and I split the sounds of that keyboard with a MIDI box that split all the sounds within four keyboards. This is my setup of the time, because in the past I tend to use a laptop computer in my live setups, but it was a nightmare for me, because so many times my laptop crash into live shows, and I tend to avoid that now. So I don't have any modification to my setup, because I'm happy with my sounds that I made. Well, I choose a Yamaha Motif XF because allows me to prepare my setup in a very easy way, and I can play any instrument, a Hammond organ or a synthesizer or an orchestra, in a very easy way. I can load my sounds with a USB key. Every time that I play live, I am sure to play my sounds with my USB key.
All right, well, we're going to break up the questions a little bit here. We're going to go into their next album, which was entitled Coffee in Neukölln. By this time, Max Garcia had left the band, leaving Luca Zabini to handle all the guitars once again. And this guy's playing all the guitars and the keyboards on this album.
Nice.
Blows you away. I mean, it really does. I mean, this guy's phenomenal. So from this album, we're going to enjoy the opener entitled Back to You. Once again, that was Back to You from Coffee in Neukölln, the 2012 release by The Baroque Project. And I thought I might drop a word about their name, in case you think it has anything to do with the American president. It does not. It's B-A-R-O-C-K, and I think it's kind of a take on Baroque, in which, you know,
I came to that conclusion, too.
The music is very much classically
Baroque and rock.
You know, it's, yeah, you're taking from, you know, classical and rock and fusing it together. And I also remembered seeing that one of Luca Z, the keyboardist and guitarist, one of his heroes was Keith Emerson. I think you can hear that on a lot of this kind of stuff. It's just phenomenal playing. This song, Back to You, again, had a strong classical influence.
He had a list of classical influences as well, including Béla Bartók and Alberto Ginastera. Hey, Luca Z, I like Ginastera too. You don't hear them often, but
so
some of us Prague fans look up the guy who wrote Toccata.
Toccata, right? Yeah, there's a lot of Prague changes in rhythm and feel in this tune. And like
a proggy feel, like Son of Squatch would say.
A proggy, yes.
I kind of get bits of IQ and Renaissance off this at the first time I listened to it, but the characteristic Italian prog drama is there. It's muted a little bit in the beginning of the tune. You get a lot of bits of other bands off this album, but the sound's all Baroque Project in the end. At the beginning of the album, it's almost like a light poppy prog, but that's just setting the stage for the full drama and opera and symphonic inspired prog. Like in the song Don Giovanni we just heard, but with lots of rock and roll thrown in.
Operatic. That's a good word. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, for sure. All right, anyway, I think we're going to go ahead and listen to the last couple answers that Luca Z was kind enough to provide for us. So we asked, what is the recording process like for you? Is it tedious and structured, or do you allow yourself flexibility to continually create as you record?
Well, I allow myself some flexibility to continue to create my record because in my home studio I have one computer and one recording software that allows me to record my projects in multi-tracks. I can start with one instrument, mainly piano or acoustic guitar, and after that I can develop over that the melodic lines or the melodic parts of another instrument. So for me, it become very easy to write a song in that way.
Okay, and do you get to play live as much as you would like? What do you love about being in front of an audience, and what do you hate? Do you have any fears?
Well, of course, we don't play as much as we liked. We love to play live. We love to play in front of an audience. We love the feedback and the energy of the audience and the love that they have for us. Yeah, I have sometimes some fears as performance anxiety and the fear to play very in a very precise way as we do in the album. And sometimes it doesn't happen because We start to play a song more fast than the album, and it becomes very hard to play all that notes in a very fast way.
And finally, do you remember the first song that you ever wrote, even if you were a kid or a teenager? Greg Lake said that he wrote Lucky Man when he was like 14. What about you? If you remember it, do you care to give us a sample of it? Play a few bars, maybe? What song in your current catalog do you love the most and feel best defines the sound you want to be identified with?
Well, I am a lover of Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and I think that Greg Lake wrote Lucky Man when he was 12. The first song that I ever wrote, I think it was at 11, 12, maybe, about. And I wrote that song with a simple sequencer from the 80s. With one keyboard, one of the first MIDI keyboards, and with only 16 tracks available. I was very happy at the time because I can create my music world with less material available in my bedroom. What about me? I tend to be very inside the music because I like to make music all the day. The song that I prefer in my catalog probably it's Fool's Epilogue from Coffee Noikon album, because I think I could express all my musical competence and skills of my composition studies. And so I was in deep with the music of Ludwig van Beethoven and Johann Sebastian Bach, but mainly Beethoven in that case. And I particularly love that that piece of music of my catalog.
Okay, so once again, that was Luca Zabini, who was kind enough to answer our questions. He apologized for his English up front, but I think he did a fantastic job. I'm amazed at how well some of these Europeans speak English. He's speaking English way better than I could speak Italian, that's for sure. But anyway, we're going to leave you with one last song from these guys. As I said, their latest album is getting some mention among album of the year among some people. And it's entitled Skyline and was just released this year. On this album, we have the core of Luca Zabini and Luca Pancaldi, the vocalist, joined by some new musicians this time out. Eric Ombelli on drums and Marco Mazzuocolo. I hope that's close. Mazzuocolo on guitars. Anyway, from this album, we're going to feature the song Spinning Away.
Tiny
right, Spinning Away from Skyline by the Baroque Project. That bongo intro is so cool.
Yeah, I dug that. It's different. You know, this whole song is kind of different. I think this has that playful aspect you were talking about before, well, where they don't take it too seriously. Right. They're having fun here.
They have this way of pulling these disparate elements together and making them work. I love the 70s glam rock intro they play in the middle of the song at about 4.5 minutes, I think. They played it, throw this intro in at 4.5 minutes with a cowbell. I need more cowbell. In the middle of the song.
Got a fever.
And then it just because it's you know, it's starting the 70s glam rock thing, and then it just turns into something else entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, this thing was all over the place. Funky, jazzy, a lot of cool drum and bass things going on.
That's a good characteristic for the album. I mean, if you liked what you heard here, you can't go wrong with the rest of, you know, Skyline.
Yeah, I sampled some of Skyline on an earlier show. I forget the track I played. It was the 10th track. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't think of the title right now. But I'm blown away by this album. I think it's a really great album, and I highly recommend it. So anyway, I guess that's going to wrap us up for this week. Once again, I'd like to thank Terry for stopping in and for doing all of his homework here. He came prepared to talk all about the Proto Men and the Baroque Project.
Hey. Thanks for having me over, Squatch.
It's always a pleasure. And those of you out there, you can follow me on Twitter at Prog Squatch. You can like my Facebook page, Prog-Watch. I do a lot of posts about the show there. You obviously know you can find me on progzilla.com, progpositivity.com, and also Voyage 35 Radio. Getting some exposure out there these days.
And I'm at facebook.com/Terry Deline Music.
All right. And one more thing. You can always email me if you have comments or questions or suggestions. It's progsquatch, progsquatch @gmail.com. So anyway, I guess that's going to take us out here.
Take it easy, Prog Nation.
Prog on, brothers and sisters.